his junior church today. Only kids, Tyler. You just had a birthday. We know how old you are. Okay. Quick vote. Show of hands. Screen up or screen down? Who's down? Screen down. Screen up. Okay. All right. How about this? When it's really sunny out, we'll go screen down. Is that fair? Sunny enough? All right. There we go. Now, everybody. With the blur. Yeah, that's right. It's a dramatic effect. It's not going to help. Now you see my face, it's going to be worse. Amen. Please open your Bibles to Romans 15:13. That was a perfect song we just sang. Because that's what this verse is about. That's what this whole passage has been about. Excuse me one second. We fix our eyes on Jesus Christ. We fix our eyes on eternity. That's the goal. That's where we're going. That's what's going to happen. So when things happen in this life, and we have eyes fixed on eternity, and we read other promises of the Bible, then we can know, okay, they're happening for a reason. I need not be fearful or worried, scared, because God's doing things. I can live with joy. I can live with peace. And that's, if you leave now, you've got the gist of the sermon. Okay, we're going to move on then. Let's read some context. Let me start with 15:4, and I'll read through today's verse. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again, it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. So verse 13 really goes with that above section that I just read. But this promise is so critical that I wanted to preach it alone. We must have a good grasp of biblical hope in order to take hold of the beauty of the promise here in verse 13. Biblical hope is based on truth. It's a fact. It's a promise. It's based on a promise of being part of something that will happen in the future. When we use hope in a non-biblical sense in this world, it's not a guarantee. It's more of a wish that something will happen, right? I hope that the Patriots don't win tonight. I hope that things will get better. Or you better hope your mom doesn't see your room looking like this. Or I hope he's going to get to the point. Maybe that'll happen, maybe it won't. But biblical hope is an emotion that is looking forward to a future reality. We hope for our eternal reward. That's what it is. Specifically, we hope to enjoy the glory of God forever in his presence. But we can't do it like this, right? We can't do it with these bodies. The glory of God fills the earth now. And we don't appreciate it as we should. It doesn't move in us. So we say, is this what eternity, if eternity is going to be just enjoying the glory of God with him forever, the glory of God fills the earth now, eternity doesn't sound that great. But you're not prepared for it yet. You don't have the bodies that you need for it yet. The glory of God fills the earth and we don't appreciate it. Why? Because of sin. We live in a fallen world that also, this world itself looks forward to, in hope, to a day in which it will be new. So we need a new world. We need a new world that isn't broken. We need new bodies that aren't full of sin, that aren't dying. They're not so susceptible to sin or to corruption. We need hearts that do appreciate God's glory, because ours don't do that now. We need to be changed in order to appreciate eternity for what it is. And that's part of our sanctification now. We come to saving faith in Christ. But then life gets in the way, doesn't it? Life happens. And what was so beautiful that it brought us, changed our hearts and brought us to come and worship, come spend our Sunday mornings with each other, spend our days reading the Bible, giving our whole life to God. What once did that, as life goes on, as sin goes on, it doesn't mean as much to us. And God has to constantly do things to bring us back or to see him more clearly. And that's what our sanctification is. God continuing to open your eyes more and more to see his glory. All the things that you go through in life. We need glorified bodies to be able to fully see and fully enjoy the glory of God. That's our biblical hope. So when we're talking about hope, we're looking forward to that day of worship, uninterrupted, seeing and appreciating, valuing, finding ultimate joy in the glory of God, but with bodies and eyes and hearts that are able to do it in a world that's not going to distract us, but continue to help with enjoying the glory of God. So our hope is one day that's going to happen. One day that's going to be me. One day Christ will return and get that ball rolling even more. But until then, as things go on, as we live in this world, as the circumstances of life come up, I'm going to cling to hope. I'm going to look forward to that day. I'm going to keep my eyes on the prize, so that instead of turning my eyes from Jesus, my eyes are fixed on him. Instead of these hard things that I go through tearing me away from God, because I have hope, my eyes are fixed on him. So I know how the story ends, right? So that's what hope is when we talk about biblical hope. looking forward longingly to that day. It's not a random wish that things will get better, but a true longing for that future event that will happen. If our hope, think about it, of the things that we tend to hope for, right? Not bad things. We hope for health. We hope for, you know, help, money. We hope for provision, food. All of that stuff can go away. And one day we're not going to need all of that stuff. And we can even get all that stuff and not be happy and be longing for something else. So hope, we got to keep eyes fixed on something that will not go away, that will not change, that is there for us. We got to keep our eyes on the prize. Once we get that hope, once we understand it, then we can enjoy the promise of verse 13 and be filled in our lives, filled with joy and peace. I want to be filled with joy. Do you want to be filled with joy? I want to be filled with peace when you turn on the news or you look at, I want peace in the midst of that, that peace that surpasses understanding. I want that to be my heart. I want to be joyful, not walking around miserable. Jesus came that we would have joy, an overflowing abundance of joy, filled with joy. I want to take hold of what God is promising me. Do you want that? So this is the promise on how to do that. Not living a life of worry and anxiety and fear and turmoil, but of joy and of peace, whose hope is not in this world. John Piper helped me with the organization, the structure, not personally, but through some reading, so I want to make sure I give credit where credit is due there. So let's look at this. Let's just break it down in chunks and see how beautiful this promise is. So first, may the God of hope fill you. That's what he says. If we are going to enjoy the glory of God forever, we must have glorified bodies to receive it. And if we are going to hope in that glorious day, we need the God of hope to fill us with that hope. You can't do it. Human beings, from the day that they are born, blind themselves to the glory of God by their own sins. That's what we're good at. God made all this, all of this. It's beauty out there to point us to how wonderful he is. All of the things, all of our relationships, all of the way that the human body works, the way that the world is, all the love, all these things. And we just tend to ignore it. We just tend to ignore it. We're good at that. And we go our own way. Nothing in us sees God's glory. Nothing desires to see his glory, cares to see his glory. Certainly nothing puts their hope in the future day of glorification of new bodies, new earth. All of our hope without Jesus is in this life. Right? What I can get out of life. How good things are going to go for me in this life. That's what the rest of the unbelieving world puts their hope in. All sorts of different things. And when they're not getting what they're hoping for, then all the turmoil starts. And it starts on this side, and it starts on this side. And everybody's raging because they're not getting what they're hoping for. And nothing changes that unless God steps in. So something has to change. And we don't wise up and see that this glory of God and glorified bodies, that's the pinnacle, that's what we're all shooting for. We're not one day sitting there and be like, wait a minute. There's something else going on. God steps in here. Even if we could do that, even if we could understand eternity, understand what the Bible is teaching, We wouldn't be a part of that holy existence because our abundant sin. Heaven's not full of sinners. Not a single one. It's too holy in God's presence. Something has to change so that sinful people can be in God's presence. So God had to make a way. He had to make a way that he could still be holy, yet sinful people could be in his presence. Something had to change. Right? And that's the gospel. That's Jesus coming. Living, remaining holy, living righteous, perfect life. Taking the punishment on the cross. Then that great exchange that happened on the cross where he took the punishment for all of your sins, all of my sins. And now we get to be counted, declared righteous so that we can be in heaven with God when we die. We can, we will, our bodies will be glorified on a new earth. Nothing that we deserved, nothing that we did, nothing that we earned, but he poured out his grace. That's the gift of the gospel, to where sinful people can be made holy, declared holy, and then be made holy to be in God's presence, where there is no sin. That's the gift of the gospel. So God first makes a way. But then, once making the way for us to be part of it, he had to change our hearts to want to be a part of it. And that's where our new birth happens. He opens our eyes to see that everything that in here is true, and that death on the cross was for my specific sins and your specific sins. That I can believe in that. So he changed my heart to want it. So there's the facts of everything that happened. Everybody, all the unbelieving world has those same facts. But what's the difference between us and the unbelieving world is that God changed our hearts to want that. To want to be saved. To want to spend an eternity in his presence. To want to live a life for him now. That's the difference. God changed our hearts to want it. So he made a way for it to happen. And then he changes hearts so that we would want to be a part of that. God did that. All of that. So if we are to have biblical hope, the God of hope must be the one to do it. He fills us. Paul's prayer here is that God will do that. This is a prayer. Not only that initial hope, but that abiding hope that he talks about at the end of the verse. So we're going to skip over this next section. I'll explain why. Of joy and peace. We'll get there in a second. But look what the means is that God uses to do this. It's in believing. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. The means that God has designed for you to grasp hold of his hope is your faith. I got to believe that this is true. I got to believe that Jesus died for my sins. I got to believe that I'm counted righteous, not by my works, but by his life. I got to believe that I don't earn my way to heaven. I got to believe that this is all about his glory. I have to believe that one day he's going to come back again. I have to believe that that is better. What awaits me is better than what I have right now. I have to believe that what awaits me is better than anything this life can offer. Because if I don't believe that what awaits me is better than anything that this life will offer, then I will go after what this life will offer. And every time we sin, and every time we do that, there's a little bit part of us that says, well, this right now is worth it. It's better than waiting for that. That's essentially what we're doing. And then the Holy Spirit convicts us and we're ashamed and we repent and we bring that back to God and he reminds us of our forgiveness. He grows us. But that's what that is. You must believe in God, believe his promises, believe the gospel in order to hope in its fruit. God gifts us with that belief. God has to open our eyes to see his glory, and with that comes the gift of belief and faith. A lot of people can read the Bible and comprehend it, right? A lot of people believe these words. They may believe that God exists, but in order to live your life by the hope of eternal reward, that's a different thing altogether. That's more than just intellectually getting there that this is true. Now you're asking me, when all things are going bad, when things are chaotic, when the worst happens in my life, not to go after something that's going to bring me temporary comfort, but to trust in this. That takes a little bit more, a lot. It takes more than just believing that these things are true. That takes faith. Paul has said way back at the beginning of Romans that the righteous will live by faith. And yes, that means by live, that means eternal life versus eternal death and punishment. But it also means that every day of our life is lived by faith. You have saving faith, which believes in the gospel, believes that Jesus died for your sins. But now you're living your life, and you need that faith every day of your life to keep your eyes focused on eternity. When the things come up, when the trials come up, when the temptations come up, what's going to stop you from going? It's going to be that belief, that faith. By faith, it's the means that we access the promises of God. You have to believe them. You have to read and understand that there's a promise for me, but I have to hold on to that promise. I got to believe that it's true. I got to believe that he's going to do it. I got to believe that I'm not worthy to accept that promise and that through Jesus, that promise becomes a yes for me. I have to believe that. I have to have faith in that. I've got to live by that. God will do what he says. That's faith, believing that and clinging to it. So we don't get the fruit of the gospel just by understanding it intellectually or even just believing intellectually that it's true. You must have faith. A trust that God will fulfill these promises through Jesus Christ, and then you live by it. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Now I step back and I say, okay, if hope means eternal glory that I'll be able to appreciate and value and longingly wait for that, then faith is the assurance that that's going to happen. I have to believe that that's going to happen. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. The conviction of things not seen. So how does God do that? How does he take selfish sinners and make them hope in him daily through faith by the power of the Holy Spirit? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus saves us through his Holy Spirit. That's how new birth happens. Then the Holy Spirit dwells within us daily, convicts us, guides us, opens our eyes more and more to the glory of God, bears fruit in us. That's how we change. It's not by buckling down in our own power. We read something, we say, oh, I gotta try really hard to do that. picking up the fruit of the Spirit and stapling them to our tree. See, I'm patient. That's not how it happens. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our daily sustainment happens through the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's God at work in us. It's so great to see when we understand that the fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Did I miss one? I think I said them all. When those come out of us and we know we're a sinful human being, and those happen out of us, and we understand that, wow, that's God working. That's God working in me. I wouldn't be loving normally here. I wouldn't be gentle or patient here. That's encouraging in our walk, right? Seeing the Holy Spirit work in us, giving us that daily sustainment. But he also does something in context of this verse here with hope. Because think about what I said before, the things that we put our hope in, money and health and security and safety, jobs, politicians, relationships, family, our own home, your talents, your skills, your abilities, and the list goes on and on, your plans, all these things that we tend, that are of this earth, not necessarily sinful, but things of this earth that we tend to put our hope in. That's in our humanity. So if we get a glimpse of real faith in our lives, a hint that our hope isn't in those things, but our hope is in that eternity, then this verse is saying, that's the Holy Spirit that's doing that in you. That's the Holy Spirit that's fixing your eyes on eternity. That the chaos that's going on in your life, even though that's happening, your eyes are fixed on Jesus, fixed on one day being with him. Fixing on that glorious day that he returns. That's the Holy Spirit doing that in you. You can be rest assured because our human tendencies aren't to put our hope in eternity. Any bit of not trusting in the things of this earth, but longingly hoping in eternal glory. That's from God. That's the power of the Holy Spirit sustaining us so that we have hope. We're abounding in hope. Abounding. Overflowing. Too much of it. More than normal. So fight for hope. Fight for the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't settle for lesser hopes. That's what we tend to do, right? We settle for lesser hopes all over the place. Don't settle for lesser hopes. Don't put your faith in the things of this world that will break, that will get lost, that will fade or go away or die. If it's on this earth, that's what it does. So we have to put our hope in something that doesn't. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. So by the Holy Spirit, we are able to not only just hope in that glorious day of beholding the glory of God in our glorified bodies, but we're to abound in hope. Hope grows. Think about this for a second. Hope grows. It's not just that we come to saving faith and we're given our hope quota for life. Right? We come to saving faith. Why? Because we want eternal life. We don't want eternal punishment. We're falling in love with God and we want to be with him forever. And we think about heaven. Is that we've been given this much hope? And we use it up. Every day, a little difficult thing comes along and our eyes are fixed on Jesus, and then we take a little out of our hope jar and we hope that by the end of our life we got a little bit of hope left. That's not usually the case, right? We sang that song. We talked about Doug passing. He was pretty hopeful. You see Christians who've been Christians a long time, they're a lot more hopeful near the end than they were in the middle, certainly at the beginning. So hope grows. Hope doesn't just stay the same. It's not just something that exists, it's something that grows. As we go through the trials of life, leaning on the Holy Spirit, keeping our eyes fixed on hope, that hope grows. It increases. We gain more hope. We look longingly more and more to that day. Think of some of you who have suffered, and I've heard the words come out of your mouth. I just long to be with Jesus. Right? Where does that come from? Yeah, you want your suffering to end, but you're thinking of what's going to happen when it does. Where you're going to be. Sin in the world will try to tug and rip that hope apart, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit that sustains you and will prevail so that hope does not only exist but grows, and it feeds off and produces even more joy and peace. So now back to the joy and peace. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Paul's prayer is that the God of hope, right now, while you're here on earth, will fill you with joy and peace through believing, through faith, in order that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can have more hope. So you come to saving faith. God rescues you. You're given that hope of eternity, that hope of being with Him. You go through things in life that are difficult. God gives you surprisingly, amazingly, miraculously joy and peace through these incredibly difficult things. God does that. He fills you with that through something unimaginable. And because of that, the Holy Spirit makes you abound in more hope. So your hope jar goes up a little bit more. So now you have this hope, and the God of hope, more things happen, other things happen. Fills you with more joy and peace. You have more joy and peace. Cyclical. You get more hope. And your hope jar goes up. And this is how it happens. Over and over. But your experiences in this verse, in this life, are the hope in eternity. But being filled with joy and peace in the midst of all the things that are going on. In a world full of turmoil and anger, you have joy and peace. When personal and physical things happen, relational things happen, that just crush us to the ground. You don't give up. You've been given the miracle of joy and peace. Why? Because your eyes are fixed on eternity. If my whole focus in life were on my physical health, right? That's all that made me happy. And everything I did were just to improve my health. Well, some days I'm going to get sick. Is God being mean to me? Someday, all of my efforts, all of my work, all of my prayers about my physical health aren't going to work if Jesus doesn't come back first, right? Then what? Then what? Then what do I have? I've got nothing. But if my hope is somewhere else, then as these things happen to me, oh, now I'm fixed on Jesus. Yes, they're happening. Yes, they're difficult. I'm not denying that they're happening. But I can have a peace that surpasses understanding. I can have a joy in the midst of the turmoil because my hope is fixed on Christ. My hope is fixed on eternity. And that cannot be taken away. And that's the joy of this promise. It's cyclical. God fills us with hope. So we delight eternally in his glory, in our glorified body. That'll happen someday. So we look forward to this through the events of life, through these trials, through these difficulties. That's the promise of this verse. He wants the God of hope, the God who gave you that hope in eternity, to fill you through believing. You got to believe in these promises. You got to believe this is true. You got to believe. I'm not telling you take medicine. Don't get me wrong here. But I got to believe that my happiness is going to be more firmly fixed in what God is going to do for me forever than whatever this medicine, this pill can do to my body now. Right? Yes, it may help. Yes, it may fix me. That's great. I pray for that. That's wonderful. But that's not where my hope lies. Because if it doesn't, if I do get sick again, if someone else close to me passes away, if I do lose that job, if something happens to our home, if those things do go away, I'm not crushed. I'm not crushed. I have a hope fixed on eternity. Then, no matter what life's circumstances are, I can be at peace. I can have joy. Because the Holy Spirit empowered abounding hope produces that joy in me continually. It's the way that God designed it. It's why Jesus died for me. Listen to the beginning of Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we've been declared right by God through our believing, through our faith in Jesus, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, through Jesus, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces what? Hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Hope. It all comes back to hope. It all points us to that one direction. So some quick application. I know I've gone long today. I'm sorry. I'm not that sorry. I'm a little bit sorry. First, it starts with God and it continues through God. You didn't talk yourself into hope. You didn't reason yourself into glory. You didn't discipline yourself into faith. God did it. So praise God, glorify God, depend on him. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. What is that day of Jesus Christ? That day when Jesus Christ returns and the earth is made new and your glorified body gets to worship forever. It all is pointing back to that. Say to yourself, right? Why are you cast down, O my soul, Psalm 42? And why are you at turmoil within me? What's the answer that David gives? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. And there's the means of it. You must believe it by faith. Remember, every day you are choosing to live by faith or not. Choosing to trust in God's promises or trust in your circumstances and your ways around it. So memorize these promises. Pray scripture. Preach to yourself. Speak truth to yourself in trials. Speak this verse to yourself in your difficulties. And along with that, second, your faith must be in the promise of glory. God's glory enjoyed by your glory forever. So ask yourself, what am I really living for? What would I settle for? What disappoints me the most or excites me the most? Ask God by the power of Spirit to tune those things and tweak it so that it is His glory and your enjoyment of that glory forever. Third, we endure through hope. I just read that from the beginning of Romans 5. We want more hope. It comes through suffering and trials and difficulties. Think about it. He does it, right? We have a whole laundry list of you in here because God crushed you to the ground through a trial, showed you how good and wonderful He is, put your hope on eternity, and now you're in here. And then maybe even He did that again and again in your life, and you've drawn near to Him and closer to Him through all of it. Think of someone training for the Olympics. Every painful day is shaping the outcome of that future, that possibility of standing on the podium. They put up with all the difficulties because their eyes are focused on that end goal. God is preparing you for glory. So reframe your suffering. Instead of, why me? Ask God, what is this forming in me? How are you using this to show me your glory or preparing me for that eternal weight of glory? Pray in hardship. God, loosen my grip on this world. Everything I think I can control in this world, and fix my eyes on you. Bring that joy and peace. And that's the last application. Our faith believes in what we hope for, and that fills us with joy and peace in this life. Joy and peace are not emotional accidents. I woke up joyful today. I woke up at peace. They flow from settled hope. So you have no joy, you have no peace in this world. Maybe ask yourself, what am I hoping in? Do some hard work. When eternity is secure, life becomes manageable. So focus your fearful, fretting, anxious heart on the hope you have secured for you, and then rest. In joy and peace. The promise isn't just for joy and peace. It's to be filled with it. Filled with it. Not a little bit. Filled with joy and peace. So it's oozing out of you. The promise isn't just for hope. It's for abounding hope. That's offered. Those things are promised to you. Do you want them? Pray for them. Live for Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for verses like this that refocus us, recenter us on what matters in this existence. Lord Jesus, you know. You became one of us. You know the trials and the temptations and the difficulties, and you know how easy it is for them, even for those of us who you've rescued and you've redeemed and you've saved, performed that miracle in life. You know how easy it is for us to take our eyes off of that hope. So we pray, God of hope, that you would fill us with hope. And as a result of that, it would fill us with such joy and peace in believing in that hope. Believing in your promises, that your Holy Spirit would sustain us, endure us, and build in us even more hope. We pray this in your name. Amen. God is good. Hebrews 10:19-23 says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place,